Everybody, obviously, New York, the whole East Coast, you know, recovery, and, you know, sorry for people's losses of, you know, family members, of homes, everything. But, you know, we're here, Sports Cares, Sports Heals, and Ray and Tay are here, man. Join us for some fun. Take a break from CNN, New York One, whatever you're watching, listening to. Give us a call. You want to join the show, 718-664-9098. Talk some sports. Obviously, we love it when you give us the emails. That's raeandtaytoday@gmail.com. It's the same for the Twitter. Follow us so we can get down with our tweets. You know, we give you sports info throughout the whole week, even on the weekend. And same thing at Facebook, Ray and Tay Today. So, Ray, how you feeling, man? We got some crazy breaking news. But tell everybody about the show, man.
Yeah, let me break down the show. First of all, let me tell you that we're doing this on Ray's side from New York City. Shout out to everybody that was affected with Sandy, by Sandy, on the whole East Coast, New York, all the way down south to Delaware, North Carolina. 100 deaths. So again, that breaks our heart. But if we can provide a little bit of relief and take your mind off of it, I'm in the no power zone myself, but that's the least of my worries. You know, there's people that have lost their houses and some have lost lives. I think the death toll is 100. So yeah, horrible, devastating. But let's take our minds off that a little bit, take a little break for an hour and talk some sports.
Let's get excited, baby.
Yeah, so here we go. So we're going to go on this show. We're going to talk about the breaking news, and there's some real juicy, interesting breaking news. We're going to go talk about last night's Thursday night football game, Chiefs and Chargers. We're going to talk about the big college football games coming up. We've got two mega matchups, five top 25 matchups this week. And we're going to go talk about our NFL Week 9 NFL preview. Can you imagine? It's Week 9. We're at the halfway point in the NFL season already.
So fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
So fast.
And then we're going to give you our segment of our top five NFL teams. Next week, we're going to give our halftime awards in the NFL season. But right now, we'll go through our top five NFL teams. And then we're going to give our NBA highlights of the first few days of the NBA season.
It's back, baby.
Yeah,
it's a big game tonight.
Two national games tonight, Miami and New York, and the Clippers and the Lakers. So real juicy show. Let's start it off with some breaking news. What's up, Dave?
Well, listen,
what's
man,
breaking?
You're in New York, so I'll let you announce the most immediate breaking news. Why don't you tell us what's happening?
All right, well, as of about a half an hour ago, Mayor Bloomberg announced that the New York City Marathon, the ING New York City Marathon, is off. So for those of you who don't know, the marathon is run 26 miles through five boroughs. It starts in Staten Island, and then it goes over the Verrazano into Brooklyn. So those are the two areas that are most affected by Sandy, a little bit of damage in the South Bronx, and then in Manhattan, also some damage. But the key was Staten Island. I think the Staten Islands really shook the trees and said, look, you've got these generators.
Well, because previously they announced that the marathon was on.
Right. The marathon was on
and,
up until
right.
a half
and that's
an hour
why
ago.
It's such a big thing, because I think the Staten Island people, you know, had a big gripe. The borough president of Staten Island was like, no, I don't want it. And so were the people, because people lost lives. And it's kind of hard to have, you know, 47,000 people running through the city when the city is just still a mess mentally, spiritually, emotionally. So I think it's overall, I know it's $340 million. I know all the numbers, this and that. I think it's the right thing to do. Honestly, I'm a Knicks fan. I think they should have just canceled the weekend. I think the Toronto-Brooklyn game tomorrow, still going to be hard to get to. Maybe the trains will be working enough. They should have canceled that, and they should have canceled the Garden and, you know, the Knicks and the Heat, even though the Garden's running. Listen to this. Reporters from the Heat were staying at airports by staying at hotels by the airport in LaGuardia. We're going to have, like, over two – with all the traffic and people not being able to get gas in New York City, they're going to – take a cab, it's going to take them probably over 2 hours to get to the Garden in a cab to
yeah, the teams
report
took
the
3 hours.
Game, cover the game.
The teams took 3 hours to get in. Yeah, you know, that's a tough one because it's at one venue, and it doesn't take all the resources that the marathon does. So the question is, at what point do you move forward and do you start doing sporting events, which in the grand scheme of things are not all that important, but they give you a little bit of a break for 2 hours, 3 hours. They give some morale. And by the way, the stadium employs a lot of daily and hourly workers. So a lot of people at these stadiums, you know, if you're a salaried employee, maybe your job is going to pay you. But if you're getting paid, you know, if you work in concessions or if you're working in Madison Square Garden, you probably get paid by the hour, by the event. So if you don't work these events, you don't make any money. So you got to think about
right,
that,
no,
too.
But they would redo the game. It's not like they would, you know, like they already
they
announced.
They need the money
Brooklyn,
now, but they need the paycheck
now. No, I know,
now.
But the Brooklyn Nets and Knicks game is rescheduled for November 26th. And that was the fastest rescheduling I've ever seen for a game. But that was, you know, obviously they want to get that in and still get it in the same month of, you know, early in the season in November.
Right.
So that's good. Well, hey, listen, you know, it is what it is, and I think you're right. We do need to go forward and move on. And you know what? There is no right answer, to be honest, because your people will be happy and sad on both ends, you know, totally annoyed, pissed off and frustrated, or totally excited and, you know, jubilation. So whether you're the NBA, the NFL, you know, look, the Steelers have to fly in at 9:30 in the morning. They arrive at 10:30, then they go to a hotel, have their meal. You know, the Steelers, you know, are at the Giants at MetLife Stadium this week, and, you know, they didn't want to displace people, and their original hotel has no power. So it's just, you know, everybody's making sacrifices, and I just think you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So let's, you know, be positive. Like you said, I think sports definitely, like I said, man, sports heals. It's a great line. Don't everybody try to take that from E-Complete because that's mine, you know what I'm saying, Eric Taylor, sports heals, man. And, you know, we got to move on. And so I think that's what's happening, and, hey, kudos. So there's some other breaking news on the baseball front, or, you know, nothing major, but why don't you tell everybody the hiring.
Yeah,
the...
so Mike Redman, the former catcher that played with the Marlins 98 to 04, he's the new manager of the Miami Marlins, I guess they're calling him now.
Yeah.
And Ozzie Guillen got fired after 1 year, and remember he had that Fidel Castro comment right in the beginning of the season, and they underachieved, and then they blew that team up, and, you know, sent Hanley Ramirez and a few other folks out of South Florida.
He might have been able to overcome the Castro stuff if they made the playoffs or had a good season, but with the way they played and everything, it was just, you know, bad taste in their mouth. New stadium, it just, he didn't work out, and they were like, hey, look, we don't need it, you know, we don't need all the shenanigans. And,
yeah.
And we all love Ozzy, though, so I wish him well, and I hope he gets, you know, another job or whatever. So, on some injury fronts, in basketball, obviously, Amari looks like he's not playing tonight and will be out about 6 to 8 weeks. Eric Gordon of New Orleans. You know, you had Rivers and Grievous Vasquez, you know, really running the show the first game when they lost to the Spurs by 2. But Eric Gordon's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So there's some interesting, you know, early season cats that are injured. And obviously, now what happened? Tell us what happened with Darren Sproles. What's up with him?
Well, it looks like he had hand surgery on the quiet, and now he's going to miss next week.
Wow.
So. That's interesting news. Nobody saw that coming.
Well, that's big for the Monday night battle against the Eagles, right?
Sure.
That's
and
huge.
And we also got one more piece of news, too. Last night is the Patriots once again pull off what seems like a steal, and they
At 3:58, Ray, at 3:58 before the trade deadline ends at 4 o'clock, 3:58 they put the trade in. You got to love it.
They probably just jammed these terms down the Tampa Bay's throat, and Tampa was like, look, we're just so happy to get rid of Aqib Talib. So for those of you who don't know, Aqib Talib was a first round pick out of Kansas and drafted by the Bucks, and
very good cornerback,
supposed to be a great cornerback, play there with Rondé Barber and really anchor that secondary. He had some issues. He was suspended twice this last time for PED, so he's done three of those four
but
games.
No, didn't they say it was Adderall or something?
Adderall.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
he's traded
returns when? Does he come?
Well, he's
got to
sit out one more game.
Okay, one more game. But hey, the Patriots need a cornerback, so that's great. They gave up a fourth and a seventh.
Right. Well,
there you go. Incredible.
And what happens is they can use him in the backfield in the secondary with Devin McCourty, or they could move Devin McCourty to safety and play him as the other corner. So a lot of options in the secondary now with the Patriots. But what a pickup. I mean, if his head is right,
Belichick is
an excellent player.
And it's perfect because now it looks like the Patriots are starting to get it going, right? You know, and you got their draft picks, Hightower and, Chandler Jones. You know, these guys are playing good, and now they get another corner. I think it's just perfect. So, hey, well, that's most of the breaking news, all the inside. Also, DeMarco Murray, running back, a game time decision. But let's talk about what happened last night, man. Let's keep
it
moving.
Do we have to?
Well, you know, going into it, I didn't think it was much of a game at all, right? Who cares? I felt like the NFL scheduled it because they were like, hey, it's the big Thursday night, Knicks, Brooklyn. You know, like they were like, oh, it's going to be the opening night in the NBA. Who cares? Like, you know, that game, they put their worst, maybe their worst game. I mean, but they didn't know that, right? So maybe I'm just reading into it. But anyway, next week
well,
it's Colts and Jaguars.
Before the season, you and a lot of other people have picked the Kansas City Chiefs to make the playoffs. I didn't. I thought they were garbage. But this on paper was supposed to be.
No, I have them doing good. They're not in my playoffs. They didn't make my
but
playoffs.
But they were, you know, this was supposed to be a decent NFC West, or sorry, AFC West matchup.
Yeah.
So this wasn't anticipated to be, you know,
right.
Jacksonville, Carolina. This was anticipated to be a decent game.
And what's funny, all the rumors before, right? Oh, if they lose, North Turner will lose his job, yada, yada, yada. They smacked the Chiefs, 31-13. Their defense played great. Oh, man, I don't know if you saw it. I mean, Gates looked great. Rivers 18 for 12 for 220. He had the one pick, and it was just the one mistake. The fans are booing him. It's 10-3 at the half. But Rivers had a good game, and they didn't even
well,
have to pass
only did
in
Rivers
the,
have
in
a
the
good
fourth
game,
quarter.
But by going 18 for 20, and let me go back to my high school math, that's 90% completion.
Oh, yeah,
that's
nice.
That's the fifth best completion percentage throwing 20 attempts or more in NFL history. So except for one mistake, that interception, he threw pretty much close to a perfect game.
And Alex Smith had a game like that just recently. What was it, 18 for 19 or something?
Yeah.
He just didn't have 20 attempts because you need 20 attempts. So. No, it's incredible,
Rivers,
man. You know what was good, though? They could run the ball for once. Matthews ran it. Jackie Battle ran it. Ronnie Brown. Now, for fantasy fans, you go
Matthews
crazy, right?
Matthews got banged up a little bit, though.
Right. But for fantasy fans, you go crazy because it's like three running backs. You know, they're all getting carries. It's kind of like annoying. But, you know, Gates and Rivers and the Chargers defense were the fantasy studs. And Malcolm Floyd gets a touchdown. And, hey, 31-13, the Chargers just keep on trucking, you know?
Yeah, and Chiefs are in trouble. Chiefs are in big trouble. I mean, they're 1-7, and they really have problems. So,
do you think Romeo at the end of the season will be fired, or do they give him another chance?
I don't think so. Look, Pioli was maybe in over his head from the beginning, and then signing Matt Castle for that big contract. You know, I don't want to hate on him, but there's a reason he didn't start at USC. There's a reason he didn't start behind three different quarterbacks at USC. There's a reason he didn't start
in New
England.
That's my point. Romeo, I don't think Romeo's the problem. I think they played well for him last year at the end of the season. I think that maybe you need to switch the GM, and I think you need to switch the quarterback. I think the Chiefs are going to be in the position to draft maybe Geno Smith or Matt Barkley, you know, whoever you want to talk about. But I think the Chiefs are going to, you know, change the quarterback and maybe change their future in that sense. I don't know if it's the coach, you know. And maybe, look there's some coaches
out there. Look,
if you
give him credit, it depends on what year you weigh, right? If you weigh the 2011-2012 season more than, you know, the 2012 season, then you leave Romeo in place. But if you think that this season where they're not looking like they'll win more than, you know, three or four games – maybe you start fresh. Maybe you start fresh with a new GM, a new coach, and a new quarterback.
Yeah, no, that's very, very possible, you know. So, you know, listen, there's not much more to really say about those guys. It's a shame. It's you know, the Chiefs are sort of embarrassing. And Jamal Charles and these guys, they just, you know. Well, listen, let's take a quick break and then jump back into some college football week 10. Wow. And we get closer to the Heisman. We'll talk about some of those candidates and some of these great games. Ray and Tay, we'll be right back.
We're back, and we're back to talk college.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do it.
You know, listen, there's you know, people say, hey, there's a couple of, you know, top games or whatever. You know, we're going to talk about a couple of games. There's only one game, okay? If we're being honest, there's only one game that really, really matters, and it's Alabama at LSU.
The Saban versus Miles Bowl.
This is, you know, it's come to the place where every season, this, because of the way they recruit and the talent that they get, this looks like this is, you know, not always, right? But this year, last year, and maybe even next year, this will be the game that will probably decide the SEC and possibly, you know, one of the teams in the championship.
Absolutely. These guys are really the juggernaut programs, and it's too bad. I mean, it's great for us, but it's in some ways it's too bad that they're both in the SEC West and they got to play each other, but especially in this format that doesn't have a Final Four. But yeah,
you know
what?
Let me say this about Spurrier made the comment that Alabama could possibly beat an NFL team. Stop it. It's not They've got a lot of NFL players, but no college team is being an NFL team. So let's just stop it, okay? Bama is great. They're tough, but let's stop that noise, number one. Number two, I think LSU's got a shot. I think they have to play the perfect game. They need special teams. Excuse me. They need special teams to score or to like put them in such a great field position. I think that they need some turnovers. I think they need a lot.
I think their home
crowd, right? Their home crowd is going to propel them to a great game. I just don't think it will be enough. I just think Bama's offensive line, their defense, the quarterback, McLaren is playing good enough. They've got some talented receivers, but I do think it's going to be a close one. Defensive battle
really?
Is not going to be
okay.
Not going to be 6-3. No, I think LSU is going to hang in there, man. Their defense is tough, but I do think Bama will win 16-10.
See, that's interesting because if the game weren't in LSU, I don't even think it would be close. Remember last year, they lost 9-6. Alabama did to LSU. But then they turned around and beat them 21-0 in the in the BCS championship game. So
yeah, chip.
LSU probably still has a little bit of that bitter feeling in their mouth. But my problem is I don't think they can do anything about it. So I just think that both of these teams are comparable in defense, and LSU's got some great defensive players, even without Matthews. So,
Honey Badger,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I do think that home field makes this closer than an outright blowout, but I don't know about Zach Mettenberger. And I think that the difference between he and A.J. McCarron is that McCarron is more mature. He's been in these situations before. Have you seen his stats? He's throwing almost 70% completions. He's got 1,680 yards, 18 touchdowns, and zero interceptions. So he's playing the perfect, game manager plus for Nick Saban. And I think that the defenses, while they're comparable, the offenses are not comparable. So ultimately, I see Alabama winning big again. I see Alabama winning maybe like 24-6 or 24-10. I just think Alabama's too tough, and I think LSU can't do much on offense. So
watch LSU's defense. You know, I think their defense is tough. I really do, and I think they could cause a turnover.
They need to keep it close and maybe have a defensive score, and maybe it's a game. Otherwise, I think it's a blowout.
All right, so now next up, we've got the Oregon Ducks at the USC Trojans, number 4 at number 17. Well, what do you think about this one, man?
Wow. So Oregon is the fastest show, the greatest show on turf. They're like the reincarnation of the 1999 to 2001 St. Louis Rams in the NFL.
Yeah, we both
those
love
guys
this
are
speed.
Amazing. And I think the combination of offensive talent on that team with Mariota and Barner and Thomas, you know, that the running backs are averaging, so Thomas is averaging 8.6 yards a carry and Barner 6.9 yards a carry for running backs. That's unbelievable. And Mariota's got 18 touches. I think this game is another blowout. I think USC can put up points and look, this might be the most prolific passer to wide receiver combination that we've had in a long time in college football, in terms of Barkley throwing it to Lee and Woods, two kids that are going to play on Sunday. But Arizona is almost a sure thing to score 40. So
Oregon,
if you're going to give up 40, like they put up 70 the other day, right? 70 to 13.
Yeah.
But if you put up against, what was that, Arizona? So if they're going to put up, let's say 42, so that means, can you put up 42? Or more on them? I don't know. So Oregon wins in a shootout. I think USC maybe puts up 31 and Oregon puts up 42. So I think it's a huge high scoring game.
Oregon has very high firepower. Well, for me, I look at it like this. I love the running backs. I love Thomas. I love their speed. I love their defense. I think their defense is a little underrated. What I like about Oregon, though, is that they put pressure on teams where if you try to put 8 in the box and try to stop the run, they can pass, they can get to the corners with their speed on the outside. They, you know, do wide receiver screens. They can, you know, push it down the field, slants. And then if you try to put in the nickel defense, they'll run it all over you. And so for me, I don't think USC has got enough defense to stop them. I do think Barkley can score on them, but I think Oregon's defense is going to step up. I think Oregon is a little – they feel a little disrespected, I think, you know, from BCS, from everybody. And I think Oregon is probably going to win this game 31-17. I think they're going to put a little smackdown on them and actually have a nice little defensive turnout. I think maybe – you know, listen, Marquise Lee easily, you know, 8 receptions, 115 yards. Him and Barkley, more so Lee, definitely they're still both in the Heisman conversation. I think Marquise Lee and, like you said, Woods, both play on Sundays. The NFL wide receivers, they're beasts. But Marquise Lee is just something else. Now, Barkley could be the number one pick this year. We'll see. But I definitely like Oregon. So now we talk about the next game. Who we got here?
Well, these are the only real games, but there are 3 other top 25 games. So let's just do the public service announcement
and then we'll talk about Kansas State.
So we'll finish up by talking about Kansas State, number 2 Kansas State hosting number 24 Oklahoma State. But just so everybody knows, there's 2 other matchups. So it's 16 Texas A&M at 15 Mississippi State, and then there's number 23 Texas at number 18 Texas Tech. So there are 5 top 25 matchups, but you've got the 1, 2, 4, and 5 teams playing in those 3. Those are the real highlight games of the weekend. And so your boy Colin Klein, number 1 in the Heisman Trophy race right now. Can he stay undefeated and stay at the head of the Heisman Trophy list?
I love Colin Klein. I love this Kansas team.
You got your jersey?
You know, I kind of want, that's like a mad, cool, obscure college football jersey. I'd rock a Kansas, you know me, I'd rock a Kansas State jersey. You know, I prefer to rock, you know, I got to get my Terps and my Utah State jerseys first, right, for my edumacations, for my alma maters and stuff. But I will rock a Kansas State jersey. But I tell you this, Colin Klein is going to rock the nation and probably take the Heisman. And I think Kansas State handles Oklahoma State something awful. They solidify that they are the number two team. I think that they probably win something like 27-17, 27-14. Oklahoma might stay around for a minute. Oklahoma State, sorry, but I just don't think they have enough. And it's at Kansas State. It's just it's going to be hard for them to win like that on the road in a hostile Manhattan, Kansas environment. So, but I think right now, Ray, you're there? I think we might have lost Ray. So, to me, you know, it is what it is. Kansas State is just tough. That's how the BCS is. What we'll do is take a quick break as Ray comes back, and then we will jump into the NFL Week 9. Ray and Tay. Somebody. Joining
I'm
us
back.
Just in time, right? And
sorry
now,
about that. Hurricane
that's all right.
Sandy
I just
has remnants.
I finished up the Kansas State stuff, man, and I figured we'd, you know, keep it moving, and you can give us a score, and then we'll jump into the NFL. So tell everybody what you think about Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and then we'll just jump right into the NFL.
Yeah, I look for a big-time win by Kansas State. So I'm looking at K-State maybe 35, Oklahoma State 21.
Oh, we were similar. I had 31-17. So.
Okay.
All right, so we got the NFL, baby, week 9. Oh, my goodness. Now, you're telling me with Sproles, I'm going to have to change my rosters, put him on the bench. So it looks like McGahee
yep.
and cats like that will have to hold it down for me. But
right.
let's talk about the first game.
Well, first let's do this. Let's go through the byes, let everybody know
yeah, okay.
who to, you know, remember to make your moves this weekend. So remember, this is week 9 in the NFL, and on bye are the St. Louis Rams, the New England Patriots, the New York Jets, and the San Francisco 49ers. So get Gore, Green, Gronk, Brady, Welker, whoever, if you have Darryl Richardson or if you have Steven Jackson, get all those guys out. Remember to
yeah, that's hurting me because Steven Jackson, I have him on pretty much every, not every roster, but a lot of my rosters. So I'm struggling for a second back right now or a third back to start, you know, in a couple of my leagues. But let's look at our first game, the Denver Broncos, who look like they're pretty much in the driver's ship in the AFC West. Even though San Diego just won and, you know,
yeah,
like
they lose
might
this,
wake up a little.
They'll be tied.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 4-3. If they lose, they'll be 4-4, and so is San Diego.
Yeah, no.
So.
It could happen, but I think as we talk about Denver going into the Cincinnati Bengals, I think the sophomore slump has hit Dalton and A.J. Green and Gresham. And I got to tell you, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, he's on my team. And he's not doing hip-hop. He has not been playing great ball. He's kind of disappeared. I got to start him this week because I said Steven Jackson's on my bench. And I love Cincinnati's defense. I don't love their back half, their secondary, but I love, like, the big guy Michael Johnson up front and these guys that get to the quarterback and it caused some trouble. But I think the Denver Broncos are hot now. I think Decker, Demaryius Thomas, Stokely, Dreesen, who did nothing for me last week, but him and Jacob Tammy and McGahee. I think Manning is in control of the offense, and I just think they're going to be too much for Cincinnati. I think the Broncos win 24-16.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati turns it around at home. I think the Broncos are good but not great. So I think they're susceptible on the road to the Cincinnati Bengals waking up and remembering that A.J. Green might be the best player on the field given Peyton's age, and that this guy is going to step up, and I think he's going to open it up for you know, some Jermaine Gresham action and some Ben Jarvis Green Ellis action. And I think that Cincinnati team has played certain halves well enough to be in games, and they're 3-4, and I think they're going to win this game at 4-4.
You think
and
they're going to stop the Sheriff, though, in the fourth quarter?
You know, I think his hand is hurting a little more than he lets on, and I think it'll be important for Cincinnati to play from ahead and not let Peyton Manning do his stretch runs and his play action and make him actually drop back and throw the ball, because I think his hand is – his thumb is giving him more problems than he's letting on. And he's had a great run, what, in the last four games, like 12 touchdowns and one interception. I have him on a couple of my fantasy teams, so I've been the beneficiary of some Peyton Manning, baby. But Cincinnati, I have this feeling at home that they take care of business and move to 4-4.
Okay. You got to give me a score, though.
So I think it's a close game, and Cincinnati wins 24-21.
Ah, them Bengals. Who that? All right, well, next up, we've got two teams that no one would believe that they have the records that they have. And it's funny because this week there's only two matchups with teams with winning records. The Steelers-Giants, and then obviously the Miami Dolphins, right, at the Indianapolis Colts. Who would have thunk it?
The
two
crazy
quarterbacks.
Thing is, yeah, the winner of this game is 5-3.
Yeah,
so the loser goes to 4-4, which is not bad, but who would have thought
that
the winner of this game goes to 5-3?
And that's what makes it so funny. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's almost comical, but I got to say, to me, when you look at what Luck has done and you look at what Tannehill's done, I think the difference is Luck has been consistent every week. I don't, you know, we're not sure yet. I mean, it looks like Tannehill's been practicing this week. You know, obviously he had the bone bruise and stuff and looked like he was, you know, hurt and the knee and in the quad. But it's looking like Tannehill might go. Matt Moore could play a little bit. Either way, I don't think it matters too much. I don't think the Dolphins, as good as their defense has been on the road, I don't think they're going to be able to stop Reggie Wayne. Donald Brown's coming back. I think they're starting to, you know, run the ball a little bit. I think, you know, he's hooking up with his tight ends a little bit in the red zone with Allen and Colby Fleener.
That's a nice set of tight ends, by the way. Nice little
security blank. Well, I like
it.
You know, it was a smart draft pick, right? You know, like to follow the Patriots motto and say, hey, I'm going to have two good tight ends. Both can pass catch, and one is, you know, more of a heavy, you know, an Allen, more of a heavy blocker, but they're both receiving tight ends. And, you know, you want that for those red zone passes. And I just think the Colts are building the right way. And I think they pull out a close one. It's not going to be super high scoring. I believe the Colts will win 20-17 over the Miami Dolphins.
I like the Colts. I think they're a legitimate 5-3, potentially 5-3 team. I think Miami and our boy Hank might get a little upset with me now, but
they're frauds,
they're
fugazi.
They're a bit fugazi on 4-3. I can't see them being a 5-3 team. Even if they lose, they'll be 4-4 though. So I take my hat off, you know, to their new head coach and the fact that they didn't mess around with Ocho Cinco, and, you know, Tannehill turns out
to him, right?
He's
building
play.
A program, and he's doing it the right way. People
thought
Joe
Philbin
might be
off. Good for him. You know, Philbin, like you said, good kudos, and he's a first-time coach, and, you know, he was a coordinator before and sort of a low-profile coordinator at that, and he's doing it. He's putting in a program. So college style, you know? Not Gangnam style, but college style.
You got to respect it, man. He's definitely doing the right thing. I wonder if Reggie Bush is healthy enough to have a big game. I think the only way the Dolphins could win is if they could really get to Luck. And I just think teams have not been sacking Luck that much. Colts offensive line's done enough. But if Reggie Bush could have one of those, you know, 200-yard games, all-purpose yards, you know, catch some screen passes, get in the end zone twice and run and rush for about 100 and receive for about 100 or 80. That's the only way the Dolphins could, you know,
pull it out.
If they
can stay healthy, Bush and Thomas is a nice little backfield. And, you know, Andy Casale is serviceable. Tannehill looks like he might end up being a player. he's got some skills. He doesn't have enough experience under his belt, so maybe in a year or two he'll be even that much better. But he shows some physical signs of brilliance. But again, those receivers, I mean,
they still gotta get a number one.
Best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, to me, Hartline and Best should be your 3 and 4, not even your 2. Okay, I mean, I'm not trying to diss them, but it's just the reality. If they got a 1 and a 2, even if they brought in like a veteran, let's say if they, you know, had, you know, whatever. If they obviously if they had a Chad, he could have been there too. And you have Hartline and Best as your 3 and 4, and you have a real number one. You know, that's what they really need to do. So we'll see what happens next year. But when you're just working with, you know, the youth that they have. And, you know, Hartline and Best, it's going to be hard. But we both say the Colts. So let's check out, the Carolina Panthers at the Washington Redskins, D.C.,
baby. So 1-6 against 3-5. Who would have thought that these teams would be this bad? I mean, I definitely thought the Redskins were going to finish last in the NFC East, even though Robert Griffin III is all that. And the chicken fat and everything else, and what a move by Washington to trade up with St. Louis to get him.
He's a franchise quarterback forever, and actually he is definitely rookie, looking like he could be rookie of the year, even over Luck, and you know just.
I'm not sure actually. Remember that if he goes 6-10 or 7-9, and Luck goes 9-7, even though RG is more dynamic and he may have more highlights. I'm not sure that, you know, if a quarterback's job is to win games and Luck's winning those games, you know, remember,
yeah.
If Luck wins, he's 5-3 this week, so after this week. So it's not a done deal
I
that
think
RG3
they have,
is
I think
winning
the Colts
the
have an easier schedule and easier opponents, right?
That's
obviously,
true.
They don't play the NFC East. Yeah, the NFC East is also playing the AFC North, right, against the Steelers and those guys. So, you know, he's got a rough road, a tough schedule. But I will say this, I don't think – their losses, none of them have been because of RG. So, you know, their defense is kind of banged up and hurt. What I like about this game is obviously you've got the hype, Cam versus RG3. Last year Cam was the darling, and now it seems like it's RG3. I don't like to compare them in terms of pure, you know, in terms of quarter. I think they're totally two different styles. I think when sometimes the media compares them, it's more because they're both African-American. But as just quarterbacks and their style, like RG said, hey, compare me more to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a great athlete and mobile and can stay in a pocket and throw it. And I think RG is totally right in that. And I think he's more of that comparison. And as far as Cam needs help, man. They didn't get him any toys. They need to run the ball more. Williams, Tolbert, you know, D'Angelo, they were talking about maybe having him traded by the trade deadline, D'Angelo Williams. It didn't happen. They
forget
need
about
a pound.
That. Just commit to the run. I mean,
exactly.
It doesn't matter who it is. Just hand the ball
just,
up to the
running back. Pound it. You're right. Get the touches, get the carries, so this guy could have some play action. And Brandon LaFells, this is his week. The Redskins have a horrible secondary. LaFells and Greg Olsen have got to step up and help Steve Smith. And you know what? I think the Panthers, they're primed for an upset. And I'm actually taking the Panthers on the road to outshine RG3 and the Redskins in a great, great offensive battle. And I think they win 30-28. The Panthers beat the Redskins in D.C.
Okay. I like RG3. I think he holds serve at home. I think they take care of business. And I'll probably put the score at 27-21. So another high-scoring game. Redskins.
It's gonna be fun. Now, what do we got next? Oh,
Minnesota at Seattle. So you got a 4-4 Seattle team who was everybody's darling in the beginning when they beat Green Bay on that Golden Tate Hail Mary at the end, and they beat the they had a few Patriots and Packers. Yeah, so but now they came back to earth a little bit, 4-4, just like the Arizona Cardinals did. And they're hosting the 5-3 Minnesota, another team that, by virtue of a medical miracle in Adrian Peterson, and
AP,
just
that's my running back, baby. That's
just,
my running back.
Just enough from Christian Ponder at the quarterback position, and a an almost MVP season from Percy Harvin and Chad Greenway, and that defense stepping up. So before it was Jared Allen and the front four, the reincarnation of the Purple People Eaters, but now, you know, that team being 5-3 is blowing me away. I mean, they might be the most surprising team in the league. So what do you think? Minnesota's going to Seattle. Seattle with that great defense. You think Minnesota can pull it off and go to 6-3?
I think Minnesota is going to try to have a bounce back game after Tampa came into their house on Thursday night and smacked them up. I just think it's the wrong week to bounce back because it's hard for any team, even though their travel's not as far, but it is hard for teams to, you know, go into Seattle. You know, we have to check the weather forecast, see how the weather is going to be. But I think what Seattle's doing with Marshawn Lynch, I think Sidney Rice and Golden Tate and some of the receivers are starting to, you know, get activated a little bit, where Russell Wilson, what I'm seeing in him now is much more confidence. He's pushing it down the field. It's like he's seeing things better. The game is slowing down for him. And I just think Seattle, overall, their defense is too tough. Christian Ponder, starting off good, but he's starting to look confused out there a little bit. And I don't know if it's part of the sophomore issues or just, you know, people are bringing different things at him. You know, obviously AP and Harvin look, you know, will do well. Should be a good defensive matchup. Both defenses are top defenses. And I think Seattle wins a close one. Probably 23-20. Seattle pulls it out close.
I agree with all of your analysis. I think Seattle D is tough. I think that they are a solid, solid defensive team. In fact, a very good defensive team. And the game is going to fall into Christian Ponder's hands. I think ultimately Marshawn Lynch is going to do enough offensively for Seattle. And Russell Wilson is going to find, well, he refound, you know, Golden Tate and Sidney Rice, and he's going to do enough to put up 21 to 24
Maybe
points.
Maybe Braylon Edwards plays and shows up.
What? Well, you know, Braylon was the last man in, so maybe he earns his keep this week. I just think Minnesota, like you said, Christian Ponder is not showing the progress that a second-year quarterback with, what is it, 16 and 7, 23 games under his belt should show. I don't like where he's been the last few weeks, and I think that Seattle defense really causes a few turnovers. And at home with the 12th man and all the noise up there in Seattle, I think Seattle takes care of business. I think they score 24, and I think they hold the Vikings to 17. So Seattle, according to that, will go 5-4. And even Minnesota, not bad, will be 5-4 themselves.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good. Well, let's keep it moving. Obviously, for this last two games, we got the 4:25 matchup with my Steelers against my third favorite team, my Giants. I think Pittsburgh coming to the Giants when they met 4 years ago, it was a great game in Pittsburgh. The Giants pulled it out. Ben had 4 interceptions. That's not going to happen again. I think Todd Haley's got the Steelers rolling. Giants haven't been playing great football, and I think they just have been able to get over the hump. But I think against the veteran Steeler team this time, I think, you know, guys have been through a lot emotionally in New York, and I think the Giants might just have a little bit of a down game. I could see the Steelers coming in and pulling out a 27-23 victory over the Giants at home. I just see Big Ben in the offense and Dwyer, and watch out for Chris Rainey, the speedster from Florida. And, you know, we'll see what happens if Nix is really healthy and Barden and Bennett. But Bradshaw's foot, I just think the Steelers will have enough to overcome traveling that morning and win in New York. Ray? All right, so Ray is gone for a second. Yeah, he's been displaced, and it's hard, you know, with everybody in New York and stuff, what's been going on. So we'll get his pick of this game. We'll keep it moving. Now, when you look at Sunday night's game, and, you know, Sunday night and Monday night, we got some great matchups. This Sunday's game, the Sunday night battle, it's going to be on and popping. You got the Dallas Cowboys at the Atlanta Falcons. For me, I tell you, this is the type of game where the Cowboys could wake up, go to Atlanta, and sort of, you know, shock the world. You know, Atlanta's the last, you know, undefeated team with 7-0. And the Cowboys, they have the talent, right? They got Romo through for over 400 at home against the Giants, and Dez Bryant, you know, the hand out of bounds. But Marco Murray is a game-time decision, probably won't play, still unhealthy. I think he's the key. I don't like Tanner and Jones. I do like Atlanta's defense this year, and Atlanta's so much better at home. I just think Dallas, through talent, will stay into this game. But I don't think the Cowboys can overcome, you know, all that the Falcons have. And I have the funny feeling that the Falcons will pull out a close one. The Falcons will beat the Cowboys 27-24.
Really?
You back? Yeah,
I'm
man.
Back.
Why don't you give us your Steelers Giants score?
Hurricane Sandy. So I actually
told
agree
everybody.
With you. I actually agree with you on the Giants. Look, the Giants lost the opener on that Thursday night to the Cowboys, and then have gone 6-1 since then. Giants are due for a loss. I think that the Steelers are going to come in, fly in the day of the game. They're going to be focused. I think if they can get their running game settled with all those injuries, they're all great runners, though, it turns out. Dwyer and Mendenhall, they've got an Isaac Redman and, of course, Big Ben to his wide receivers. Brown, I mean, kudos to the GM. You know, they have some toys out there. Big Ben has some offensive toys. And obviously, if the defense can stay healthy.
Heath Miller, watch him getting in the end zone.
And Heath Miller, obviously, too, yeah. But the defense, we all know about Pittsburgh's defense. And again, if they can stay healthy with, you know, it's a shame that Polamalu's missed 6 games already this season. But, you know, get that calf healthy. But between Harrison and Polamalu and Foote and all those linebackers and Ryan Clark and Ike Taylor and all your boys there on defense, I think Pittsburgh comes in there and takes care of the Giants. I think the Giants are due for a punch in the mouth because they've been punching everybody else in the mouth. So I think the Steelers win a close one. I think something like 24-23. I think Eli tries to do his last-minute miracle and can't do it against that tough Steelers D. Now, in terms of Cowboys-Atlanta, now you're going to say it's a homer pick, the Cowboys. But the Cowboys always seem to pull a rabbit out of the hat. So they did it the first week against the Giants, and now against all odds, they were supposed to win at home. Not supposed to, but they had a good chance to win at home against the Giants. They dug themselves a hole, gave up 23 early points, and then tried to come back the whole game. I think they actually go into Atlanta, and they win. I think they catch Atlanta a little bit confident, a little bit overconfident on national TV, and I think the Cowboys win and give Atlanta their first loss. Cowboys are going to have trouble because, you know, without DeMarco Murray, that steady running game is not going to be there. They still have questions on the offensive line, but I think
he's a game-time decision, but I still think Falcons will pull it off. Like I told you, I said 27-24 Falcons.
Okay. I think the Cowboys win this one. I think Tony Romo does what he did to the Giants in week one, which is scramble around, make a few plays, limit to one turnover, maybe one interception. But if they cannot fumble and not turn it over, if Dallas doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, they could win this game. Look, I'm as a Dallas fan, I'm obviously scared of Roddy White and Julio Jones on the wings. And then obviously you've got Tony Gonzalez up the middle, and then you've got Jack Quiz and Michael the Burner Turner running the ball. So there's every reason to think that Atlanta's going to win, but I think Cowboys pull this one off. I think the Cowboys go put up 31 in Atlanta and beat Atlanta 31-27.
All right, well, let's keep it moving. We're going to do our top 5 NFL teams currently right now in the league. And like Ray said, on Wednesday, we'll give out our midseason awards for all the NFL positions. We're going to do this top 5 real quick and then jump into the NBA games before we end the show. I'll go from 5-1. For me, man, it's hard to say it, but for me, I got to put a team in there that is on the come up, and they have not been playing so great. But I think the New England Patriots are going to be my number 5, and I just think the Khalib trade, you know, getting the corner from Tampa, I think Tlaib's going to be great. I think their defense is starting to play better. Chandler Jones, all of them. And the Patriots' offense is clicking. And Hernandez will be back healthy. I got them at 5. At number 4, I have the San Francisco 49ers. I think that they are just so sound, and I think that Alex Smith is starting to get back in a groove. You know, they've been knocked down a little bit this year, but I think that they're tough and they're going to keep it going, keep it moving. I have the New York Giants at number three. I think the Giants, even though they might lose this week, I just think that overall they know how to win. They get it done. Their defense is looking good. They overcome injuries, offense, injuries, but they still get it done.
And they're the defending champs. They definitely
and Brown
know how to
leading
done.
The league in turnovers. You know, Steve Brown leading the league in turnovers. He's incredible, playing great in their secondary. And number two, I have the Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans are doing it, playing ball. Aaron Foster's leading the league in attempts and rushing yards. And I just think that, you know, Schaub to Daniels, I think just Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt, that defense is playing great. They're smacking down passes. They're doing what they need to do. And he is definitely, to me, he could be defensive player of the year. The Atlanta Falcons. I don't love them come playoffs, but right now what they're doing, the team has changed. Their defense is doing good. They're winning on the road, which has been impressive. And that's why I think they're going to beat the Cowboys this week, because they're back at home and they take care of their business at home. So I think I have them at number one, and that's my top five. I just want to say Bears and Packers, I have them both just right out of it, at, you know, at tied for number six. But Cutler, and you know what's so funny? In our fantasy league, Cutler and Rivers going into this week were 27 and 26 in quarterbacks. That's incredible.
Wow.
Behind Sanchez, all these guys in fantasy football, Cutler and Rivers have been playing pretty poor this year. So I just want to throw that out there. So real quick, Ray, your top five?
Yeah, my top five. So I still think that the Packers and the Houston Texans are going to play in the Super Bowl. So, and I'm still afraid of the New England Patriots. But having said all of that, right now, who's playing the best? If I had to rank these teams, I'd say my number five team is the Chicago Bears. So despite the fact that their offense is pretty anemic and Jay Cutler isn't doing his thing, that defense is unbelievable. They have had three games with two defensive scores. That's unbelievable. I don't know if that'll continue, but right now they're my fifth best team in the NFL. Number four, we agree, San Francisco 49ers. Not explosive enough on offense, even though they have the talent, but that defense is world class. So number four, the Niners. Number three, the defending champs, the New York Giants. I thought they'd have a mediocre 8-8 season. So far, they've proved me very wrong. 6-2. They're number three. Number two, to me, even though they're undefeated, is the Atlanta Falcons. So, again, what more can you say? You know, great defense, but even better balance on offense. And those two receivers and Matt Ryan are proving out to be something special. And Tony Gonzalez, what can you say? He's the GOAT when it comes to tight end, especially catching tight end. To me, the best team in the league is Houston Texans. I mean, they are the most balanced with Wade Phillips heading that defense. And he really needs to be, you know, he might be the best, one of the best all-time defensive coordinators. And that offense with Arian Foster and Matt Schaub doing just enough, and Andre Johnson, who's actually having a down year, and Kevin Walter and Owen Daniels, those guys are the complete team. They have no weakness. So to me, they're the best team in the NFL.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will break down the NBA and these games tonight, Ray and Tay. New York basketball. Oh, man.
We're back to talk some NBA, finally.
Well, you know
first
what?
Time
Before,
on the show that we've talked about live in-season games.
I'm so hyped up. First off, let's just do this Knicks Heat, man. The Garden's warming up. I know how it is. Everybody's traveling in. You know, they're getting hyped. We got no Amari. But you know what we do got? We got the Garden. We got the fans. We got the passion. I know the Heat looks so good against Boston. I just think the Knicks are going to come out tonight, and I think they're going to shock the world and get the W. I love Raymond Felton being back in New York, back in shape. He played great with Amari, that pick and roll. I think one thing that Anthony Donahue said last, you know, on our Monday show as our guest from Knicks Blog Talk Radio, he said that, you know, and it's true, and I think Melo respects Felton. So Felton's like, you know, clear it out or cut over here. You know, I do believe Melo will do that and move, and I think Melo against LeBron at that power forward. You know, I think we don't necessarily need Amari against Miami, right, because they play small. So, you know, Chandler against Bosch, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of Jason Kidd in this game and playing a factor. And I just think the Knicks, man, this is their time. This is their statement. They were hungry. They didn't get to play against the Brooklyn Nets, and I think that they're gonna do something nice tonight. I got the Knicks pulling it out. Maybe 98-95
at the Garden. I don't do score predictions in basketball.
Yeah,
no,
I just had to throw it out there, man.
That's how
confident. With authority.
Let me put it to you this way: the Miami Heat have one weakness, and that's interior defense. So if you can rebound and you can score on the inside, you will exploit Miami's weakness. Now, of course, they're going to lose, you know, 15 to 20 games this season just because everybody does. But the Knicks don't have anything to exploit their weakness. So without Amari and with Chandler banged up and having no offensive post offense except for Carmelo, the Knicks can't
Kurt
take
Thomas.
Advantage. No, Kurt Thomas, Marcus Camby, the geriatric crew. Those are all our
That's
boys. All right. We have a spot in our heart for
hey,
all
you never
of them.
Know if Rasheed's going to get in there and give you 10 to 12 points. Don't sleep.
Yeah, you never know. But he's not even interior offense, right? He's just a 6'10 cat shooting from the baseline these days, or maybe even from three. Oh, God, when he starts pulling up from three, I'm like, oh, no. I remember your Carolina days when you were playing closer to the basket.
Yeah, Rasheed could hit that 12-footer, though. Turn around, hit that 12-footer, a little fadeaway.
I just think we don't have enough. The Knicks just don't have enough. The Heat on opening night. I think LeBron is going to put up another one of those magical games at the Garden. He's going to go, you know, close to a triple-double, maybe has 40-plus. He's going to
Oh, man, I'm watching it now
trouble.
On TV. Look, and they're showing LeBron, right? And they're showing right where me and you used to sit, man, right there courtside, right behind the visiting team's bench.
Shout
out to Dave Sims.
We used
to holler at cats.
Dave
Sims
up in Seattle would give us the halftime score, the box score at the half, right? I remember Bianchi and Pat Cummings and his rest in peace and his wife. And we had some good times.
Dominique's mom used to sit next to us. Wilkins' mother.
That's
and
nice.
Gerald
that
Wilkins'
Dominique
mom.
Kid. Gerald, yeah, sure, the Wilkins kid.
All right, so you think the Heat are going to do it? Why don't we look at what's going on in La La Land? Right, we got the Clippers and the Lakers. Okay, they don't want to start 0-3. It's not the end of the world. They're considered the home team, but I just think that. They got to work some things out, right? I mean, Nash probably won't play tonight. That's going to hurt them. But this Princeton offense is for a team that doesn't have talent. It's not for a team that's got thoroughbreds. And some people say they shouldn't run because Kobe can't handle running and his shot selection gets messed up and they're getting older. But I'm sorry. Dwight Howard, Gasol, Kobe, Artez, Nash. Nash plays better in the run. You saw Nash in Phoenix with Shaq when they slow it down.
Of course.
Nash had bad stats that year. You got to run the ball.
Of course. I think, you know what, in some ways Nash being out is actually a blessing in disguise because it takes some of the pressure off. The problem with superstars is they don't know how to be non-superstars, right? So that's why Allen Iverson was great because he was always the best player on the court and he was always the man. So now you've got Dwight Howard and Steve Nash, to a lesser degree to a point guard because he's always been sharing the ball. But, you know, the more superstars you have on the court at any one time, the harder it is to get together. So as one or two of them go down, again, in the long run, you need all of them. But in the short run, I think this is good. I think this is good for the Lakers. Dwight Howard will get his legs under him. I think Powell is going to do great with some of the pressure in the front court taking off him. If I look for the Lakers to bounce back, I think the Clippers team is good, and they're up and coming, and they're a fun young team. But I think Lakers will not allow themselves to go 0-3. So I think Lakers will
win
the game.
Yeah, I'm excited about DeAndre Jordan in this matchup. You know, Howard's not completely healthy yet, but he's excited about the team. Spoke to Jared Rudolph from Real GM about that. And it's going to be interesting, man. Listen, this is some good games. You know, I love what James Harden did the other night.
He got busy.
37. Him and Lynn.
Signed his contract and dropped 37 on you.
Yeah,
wow.
And there were a lot of extensions. Taj Gibson extended.
Assists.
Drew Holiday. You know, a bunch of cats. Stephen Curry. So, you know, the NBA is off and popping. We'll talk a lot about the NBA on Monday. And, you know, after, you know, we get some more weekend games and stuff. And you see my man Damian Lillard from Portland. Watch him this weekend, right, against Thunder. Watch him tear Westbrook up, though. That's all I'm saying. I think Damian Lillard is going to chew Westbrook up. It's going to be exciting. And look at the Spurs,
well, thanks,
man.
Again,
2-0.
Thanks again for joining us. Yeah, Spurs, two tight games, but two victories for
Tony
them.
Parker with the threes, both games.
Real deal.
Yeah,
again,
man.
Thanks for tuning in. We had a great time with you. Hopefully we get you some relief for all those in the Sandy area. And
everybody
see you again on Monday.
Keep recovering and keep healing. Ray and Tay today, man. Thanks for talking sports with friends. We'll see you Monday. Out.
That's my language. That's my language. That's my language. That's my language.